Good morning, here's your daily news briefing for Saturday, June 6, 2026. We're leading this morning with breaking military action in the Gulf. The United States and Iran have exchanged strikes in what represents the most serious escalation between the two countries in months. According to multiple reports from Reuters and Al Jazeera, U.S. forces shot down at least four Iranian drones that were heading toward the Strait of Hormuz on Friday, describing them as an imminent threat to maritime traffic. The U.S. then conducted retaliatory strikes on Iranian radar sites. Iran has responded by firing missiles and drones at U.S. military bases in Kuwait and Bahrain. This matters enormously because the Strait of Hormuz is the world's most critical oil choke point, with roughly a fifth of global petroleum passing through it. Commercial traffic through the strait has already been sharply reduced, and there are growing concerns about global energy markets and supply chains if this corridor remains disrupted. The Trump administration says talks with Iran are ongoing, though this latest violence threatens any potential ceasefire. Let's turn to AI and technology, where we have several major developments this morning. The biggest story in AI is Anthropic's extraordinary call for a global pause on frontier AI development. In a blog post released this week, two leading Anthropic officials wrote that the world needs a system to decide whether to slow or temporarily pause advanced AI work. They're warning that rapid advances could soon allow AI systems to improve themselves faster than humans can control, a process called recursive self-improvement. Now here's where this gets fascinating. Anthropic is simultaneously preparing for what would be one of the largest IPOs in history, with reports suggesting a valuation around $1 trillion. The company announced that its annualized revenue crossed $47 billion in May, up dramatically from roughly $9 billion at the end of 2025. So you have a company racing toward a massive public offering while calling for the industry to pump the brakes. According to the Financial Times and Bloomberg, European investors are set to win big from this IPO. And some real estate listings are reportedly looking for Anthropic stock as payment. The contradiction here hasn't been lost on observers, with Reddit users noting the tension between wanting a global AI freeze while also pursuing a $1 trillion valuation. Staying with Anthropic for a moment, the company also launched a new product this week called Cowork. According to VentureBeat, this is an AI agent that works in your files without requiring any coding knowledge, essentially extending the power of their Claude Code tool to non-technical users. This is significant because it represents another step toward AI agents becoming accessible to everyday workers, not just programmers. Meanwhile, the US government is making moves that would have been unthinkable just a few years ago. Multiple sources, including CNBC, the Financial Times, and Fortune report that the Trump administration is in active discussions about taking equity stakes in AI companies, particularly OpenAI. President Trump told reporters Friday that making the government a partner in what he called this revolution would be a beautiful thing. According to sources, OpenAI CEO Sam Altman first floated this idea with the administration back in 2025. This represents a fundamental shift in how the U.S. government thinks about strategic technology, moving beyond regulation toward direct ownership. It's drawing comparisons to everything from wartime industrial policy to nationalization, and it's creating strange political bedfellows, with Fortune noting that even Senator Bernie Sanders has endorsed similar ideas about public stakes in AI companies. On the infrastructure front, we're seeing just how much money is flowing into AI computing. The New York Times and CNBC report that SpaceX has signed a $30 billion deal with Google, with Google agreeing to pay SpaceX $920 million per month for 32 months for compute capacity at data centers. That's not a typo. $920 million per month. A Google representative described this as a response to unexpected demand for its recently launched AI products. This comes as SpaceX prepares for what would be the largest IPO ever, aiming to raise up to $75 billion at a market valuation of $1.77 trillion. Reuters reports the IPO is running at 2x oversubscribed, and as the New York Times points out, because of recent rule changes by NASDAQ, SpaceX will end up in index funds. meaning it will affect millions of Americans' 401k retirement accounts, whether they like it or not. But not everyone is embracing this AI infrastructure boom. In a significant policy development, New York State lawmakers have passed a one-year moratorium on new large data centers, the first statewide ban of its kind. The Verge reports this is awaiting Democratic Governor Kathy Hochul's signature. And it's not just New York. The Guardian reports that Seattle, home to Amazon and Microsoft, is on the verge of passing its own year-long ban on new data center construction. This backlash reflects growing concerns about energy consumption, environmental impact, and the speed at which AI infrastructure is being built. On the product front, OpenAI has outlined both its public policy agenda and what it calls a blueprint for democratic governance of frontier AI. The company is proposing a federal framework covering safety, resilience, and national security. They've also introduced a new memory system for ChatGPT called Dreaming, which aims to keep context fresh and relevant across conversations. Meanwhile, Apple is gearing up for its Worldwide Developers Conference next week, where, according to Bloomberg and The Information, the company will unveil major AI enhancements to Siri developed with help from Google and NVIDIA. This is Tim Cook's final WWDC as CEO, and according to CNBC, his AI legacy is very much at stake. One more tech note. There's growing evidence that AI's promised productivity gains aren't materializing as expected. The Japan Times reports on a new study showing that while AI saves time, most companies are wasting those gains rather than converting them into actual productivity improvements. And there are cost concerns as well. TechCrunch reports that the token bill comes due as companies scramble to manage AI's runaway costs, with Uber reportedly capping usage of tools like Claude Code after blowing through its 2026 AI budget in just 4 months. Moving to UK news, we're seeing significant political tensions both domestically and with the United States. Prime Minister Keir Starmer has accused the US of trying to interfere in British democracy. This follows comments from Vice President J.D. Vance and other U.S. officials about the murder of British teenager Henry Nowak. Vance blamed the death on mass migration and accused Britain of having two-tier policing that treats different communities differently. According to The Guardian and Sky News, Starmer pushed back strongly, saying he doesn't recognize this characterization of Britain and suggesting the U.S. is trying to whip up division. His office stated that Britons are reasonable, tolerant people, and rejected what it called an attempt to stir up trouble. The Guardian reports that Vance and U.S. State Department officials are using this case to push far-right narratives about mass migration causing civilizational decline. This is creating real diplomatic friction between the two countries. On the technology front, Labour is positioning itself on AI policy. Technology Secretary Liz Kendall told The Guardian that Labour will make AI work for the workers and promised not to abandon people whose jobs are swept away by automation. This represents the government's attempt to get ahead of AI's labour market disruption. Andy Burnham, Labour's candidate in the Makerfield by-election and a potential future leadership contender, is making some big policy commitments. According to The Guardian, he's pledged to review the national insurance contributions increase that's been hurting businesses and to cut business rates for pubs, cafes, and other small businesses, saying Labour has got it wrong on small businesses. He's also calling for Thames Water to be nationalized and for a boost in social housing construction if he becomes Prime Minister. These are significant policy positions that could shape Labour's direction. On the international front, the UK-EU reset summit that Starmer has been planning may be delayed beyond July, according to The Guardian. EU official Maroš Šefčovič said it will probably happen in July, but sources indicate talks are deadlocked and the summit could be pushed back. This matters because resetting relations with Europe has been one of Starmer's key foreign policy objectives. And in a concerning security development, two Romanian men have been convicted of stabbing journalist Puria Zarati in London on behalf of Iran. The BBC and Guardian report that Zarati, who works for Iran International TV, which is critical of the Iranian government, was stabbed 3 times in the leg outside his London home in what prosecutors described as an attempt to silence him. Counterterrorism police are also investigating what's being described as an Iran-backed firebombing incident at a synagogue in Golders Green. These cases highlight the reach of foreign state actors on British soil. On British soil. Turning to U.S. news, where we have significant developments across politics, policy, and the economy. The stock market took a beating on Friday. The S&P 500 fell more than 2.6%, its worst one-day drop of the year, ending 9 weeks of gains. The Nasdaq tumbled 4%, with chip and memory stocks particularly hard hit. According to the Financial Times, this is adding to concerns about whether we're in an AI stock bubble and whether it's about to burst. The sell-off came despite a solid jobs report showing employers added 172,000 jobs in May. NPR reports unemployment held steady at 4.3%, with many of the new jobs in restaurants, bars, and hotels. However, wage growth softened and likely failed to keep pace with rising prices, which is concerning for consumers who remain pessimistic about the economy. On Capitol Hill, the Senate passed a $70 billion immigration enforcement funding bill after an overnight vote. This represents a major investment in border security and enforcement. In a separate development, a federal judge struck down Trump administration policies that had barred asylum and visa processing for immigrants from 39 countries. Al Jazeera reports the judge said these restrictions put lives in indeterminate legal limbo and were motivated by anti-immigrant sentiment. This is a significant legal setback for the administration's immigration agenda. In a remarkable show of bipartisan defiance, 18 House Republicans broke with party leadership to help pass a pro-Ukraine aid bill. According to Time magazine, though it still needs Senate approval, this represents significant opposition to President Trump's preferences on Ukraine policy. It suggests cracks in Republican unity on foreign policy. President Trump announced some eyebrow-raising personnel moves. He told the Wall Street Journal he's given the green light to his new acting director of national intelligence, Bill Pult, to conduct mass firings across the intelligence community and reduce the size of all 18 intelligence agencies. PBS NewsHour reports, Trump wants Pult to further slash staffing at the National Intelligence Office, which has already been significantly scaled back during his second term. This represents a major restructuring of America's intelligence apparatus. And in what Trump is calling a rally to end all rallies, the president announced a massive event after artists pulled out of planned 250th anniversary concerts for America. Time reports details are still emerging about who will participate in this alternative celebration. In other significant news, PBS reports that modeling from the CDC shows that unless immediate action is taken, the current Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo could sicken more than 20,000 people in the next 3 months, potentially rivaling the worst outbreak on record. This is a developing public health crisis that deserves more attention than it's getting. Before we wrap up, here are your quick hits for the morning. Chinese President Xi Jinping will travel to North Korea next week for his first visit since 2019 to meet with Kim Jong-un, this coming just days after North Korea unveiled a new nuclear fuel production facility. Russian President Putin has rejected Ukrainian President Zelensky's request for an in-person meeting, with Zelensky accusing Putin of choosing war over peace. Surgeons in the UK used a new AI-powered tool during a live operation for the first time, marking a significant milestone in medical AI applications. Canada released a new national AI strategy this week, including large-scale data centers, a free AI literacy program, and billions in funding, with Prime Minister Carney framing it as essential for Canadian sovereignty in the AI age. And in biotech news, the South China Morning Post reports that the first AI-designed universal vaccine has begun testing in humans, representing a major milestone for AI-assisted drug development. That's your briefing for today, Saturday, June 6, 2026. We've covered breaking military action in the Gulf, major AI industry developments including Anthropic's call for a pause while pursuing a trillion-dollar IPO, growing UK-US diplomatic tensions, significant US political and economic news, and several other important stories. Stay informed, stay engaged, and have a great day.